Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Luke chapter 6. We've been working our way through the book of Luke. We've been taking a few stops in other places along the way. But Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to be at today. Talking about fruit is a product of. Fruit is a product of. So we're going to look at what fruit is a product of. Okay? In Luke chapter 6. So to begin today, I'm going to see how well you guys know your fruit, all right? All right, we got some fruit experts out there, all right? Okay, we're going to start off, I have to admit, just maybe probably a little bit on the easy side here, but we'll see how good you guys are. All right, let's go. What kind of tree is this? How do you know? Because it has bananas on it? Okay, I'm maybe stating the obvious, but that'll come along. What is this? What kind of tree? Huh? Not grape. Plum. How do you know it's a plum tree? Because it has plums on it, okay? All right. So you're making some assumptions here, all right? Okay, what is this? Cherries. How do you know it's a cherry tree? Because there's cherries there. Oh, okay. All right. Keep rolling. What is that one? I think it's peaches. So it's a peach tree? It might be an apricot. What's this one? Avocado tree. So you think it's an avocado tree? Why? It has avocados. Okay, just checking. All right, keep going. This is going to stump people. Not grapes. Not olives. Ah, coffee. Yep, you guys are drinking some this morning. Yes, that is a coffee tree. All right, yeah, those are coffee beans. What are these? Nobody's going to get this. Oh, mango. Jill, you're just on it, I guess. Man, okay, that's a mango tree. All right, what else do we got? Figs. Man, Jill, you know your fruit, I guess, huh? They are figs, which was a very common sight in our passage. In fact, Jesus will mention that. I think that's our last one, isn't it, Chris? Let's see what Jesus has to say about fruit. Verse 43. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each fruit is recognized by its..." Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. That's what we did, right? A lot of you didn't know what the leaves look like or the bark or the form of the tree. You were recognizing that tree by its fruit. People do not pick figs from a thorn bush or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would take it and you would apply it to our hearts. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. A tree is recognized by its fruit. And Jesus was not just talking about trees. He was using that as an illustration to talk to the crowds that were around him and the people that he was teaching. And he was talking about behaviors and attitudes that if we are trees, what kind of fruit are we producing? Now, George Barna did a survey here recently. And what he was looking at is, do we resemble more the Pharisees in attitudes and behaviors, or do we resemble Jesus in his attitudes and behaviors? And so he surveyed Christians. And this is what he found. These are some of the criteria he found. And so let's look at the first one, Christians. Actions that were like Jesus. He asked them, "I listen to others to learn their story before I tell them about my faith." In recent years, I've influenced multiple people to consider the following, to follow in Christ. I regularly choose to have meals with people with that are very different in faith and morals for me. I try to discover the needs of non-Christians rather than waiting for them to come to me. I personally am spending time with non-believers to help them to follow Jesus. And so what Barna did, he went through the Gospels and he says, you know, these are actions that Jesus did. And so he asked Christians, are these actions that you also incorporate in your life? Now, what are some of the attitudes of Jesus? I see God-given value in every person, regardless of their past or their present condition. I believe God is for everyone. You know, you think about some of the people that Jesus hung out with and that he reached out to, whether it was the prostitute, Mary Magdala, or Zacchaeus, who was the tax collector that nobody wanted to reach out to or be around. Jesus reached out to them. I believe in God is for everyone. Second one, I believe God is working in people's lives, even when they are not following him. It is more important to help people know God is for them than to make sure that they know that they are a sinner. I feel compassion for people who are not following God and doing immoral things. Okay, those are some of the attitudes that he picked up from Jesus. He asked them. Now, on the other side of that, he looked at behaviors of the Pharisees, or what is called, they were known to be self-righteous. In other words, they thought they were righteous because of the things that they did. They dressed nice, they went to church, they tithed, they did what the law required them, okay? So what are some of the actions of the Pharisees? We got that up, Chris? Okay, I tell others the most important thing in my life is following God's rules. Catching this? I don't talk about my sins or struggles because that's between me and God. There's no transparency, no authenticity. I give the impression that everything is good. I'm not vulnerable. I try to avoid spending time with people who are openly gay or lesbian. Okay, lifestyle maybe that is different from mine and I don't think is biblical. I like to point out those who do not have the right theology or doctrine. If you don't believe exactly what I believe, I'm going to let you know it. I prefer to serve people who attend my church rather than those outside the church. All right? So, I prefer to hang out with church people, not people outside these church walls. Okay? Actions of the self-righteous of the Pharisees. Now, let's look at some of the attitudes that the Pharisees had. All right. Is that what we got up there, Chris? Okay. All right. It is not my responsibility to help people who won't help themselves. That was an attitude of the Pharisees. I feel grateful to be a Christian when I see other people's failures and flaws. I'm sure I'm glad I'm not like them. You ever said that in your heart? I believe we should stand against those who are opposed to Christian values. Boy, if they don't believe in what the Christian faith is and the values, especially the values, I'm against them. People who follow God's rules are better than those who do not. Okay, and do we have one more? Is there one more on there? All right. I think I got it here. People who follow God's rules are better than those who are not, all right? So what he did is he polled Christians and gave them the survey and says, which actions and attitudes resemble you? And I don't think they were labeled, so they just said, hey, that's me. And they went down. What Barna found out is that 51% of Christians resemble who? The Pharisees. Ouch. 51% of Christians, and you know, he's taken into different denominations, but those who would call themselves Christians, 51% of Christians surveyed resembled the Pharisees rather than Jesus. Only 14% of Christians resembled the attitudes and behaviors of Jesus. A little over 85% did not. Is that kind of shocking to you? Now, how that translates in our culture and our society is that during Jesus' day, people had the label. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Sadducee. I'm a religious person. They wore that label on their head, okay? But the fruit on their lives didn't line up with the label. Are you catching me? A tree is known by its fruit. Okay, now take that to our day and age, and we wear the label Christian. Okay, we go to church, we call ourselves a Christian, but is the fruit lining up with our label? Barna says no. In 51% of the cases, it is not lining up. And what is happening in our culture, in our society, is that we say that we're a Christian, and our society, especially the younger generations, are tasting the fruit that's on the tree, and they're saying, man, this fruit's bad. It's poisonous. It's terrible. And they're taking a bite of Christianity from the trees that are labeled Christian. And they say, man, if this is what the fruit is, I don't want anything to do with it. You following my point? And the church, we can say the church is fairly general. We can't always change all of it. Who can we change, though? We can change ourselves. We are the church. So I want us to look at what fruit is a product of based upon what Jesus had to share here and apply it to our lives. First of all, Jesus says that fruit is a product of the heart, doesn't he? He says the good man out of the goodness in his heart produces good fruit. Okay, there's consistency, there's alignment there. But the evil man, regardless of how he looks on the outside, regardless of the label he wears, produces evil out of the heart, his own heart that is there. Whether it's words, whether it's actions, whether it's attitudes, they are a product of his life. You know, it's not like going to the store and going to Walmart or Super Saver and getting some oranges and apples, and we go out to our tree and we hang them on there and say, hey, this is an apple tree, all right? That's not what happens, right? The tree produces the fruit that is true to its character. And the same thing happens in our life. We can't go to the store and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm going to go out and buy the fruit of the Spirit and hang it in my life. It doesn't happen that way. It's a product of our heart, as God works in our heart and in our lives. This is what Jesus had to say through Paul in Galatians chapter 5. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Before he lists the fruit of the Spirit, he says in Galatians 5:19, he says the acts are the fruit of the sinful nature. Okay, when we live our life outside of God and follow just our own human nature, the fruit we're going to produce is sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, okay? Anything outside of marriage, sexually, that's sexual immorality. Impurity, okay? Debauchery, drunken behavior. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. I know none of you have ever been jealous. Fits of rage, selfish ambition. We've never been selfish, have we? Dissensions, factions, division. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you as I did before, those who live like this, that produce that type of fruit, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So if we live according to our own desires and just kind of go with the flow and say, I'm going to live life the way I want to live, we're going to produce fruit, but it's going to be fruit that looks like that. But Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes in our life at the moment of salvation, begins to work in our life and transform us on the inside, all of a sudden we begin to produce fruit. And what kind of fruit are we going to produce? He says we're going to produce love. Okay, do you see that coming through in those attitudes of Jesus? Love. Joy. I went to a conference this week on Monday, and Warren Wiersbe was there. And I probably was a little bit too busy, too focused on the things I had to do. And he says, man, you need to smile. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Isn't it? Love, joy. He just nailed me. That Warren Wiersbe, he's 80-something or whatever. He's still sharp as a whip, though. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the big one, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. You can judge the fruit of your life by the fruit that you are bearing. And often we say, you know what, I'm a Christian, but maybe we should do a fruit test and say, hey, Just like we did, we identified the tree by the fruit. If your life can't be identified as being Christian, that you resemble Christ by your fruit, by your actions and your behavior, are you really a Christian? And that's where we need to dig deeper into what Jesus has to say. He goes into the next verses. And I think I jumped way too far ahead here. I got it memorized, though. Secondly, verses 46 and 47, let's see what he says. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I'll show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them to practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation upon the rock." The second thing that I see is that fruit is a product of obedience. Obedience is more than just hearing something, right? Okay, and the good illustration is just kids. They can hear what mom and dad are saying, right? And that means nothing. Obedience means that you hear it and you follow through on what is being said, right? That's obedience. And if you were to take a survey of how many people know what Scripture has to say, there's a lot of people that know what Scripture has to say, even though they never darken a church door. They may not even call themselves a Christian. In fact, you may find out you go to college and some of the atheists out there know Scripture better than you do. All right? Okay? But fruit is a product of obedience. It's just not knowing the Word of God. It is doing the Word of God and obeying it in our lives, applying it to our lives 24/7. Now, obedience, I think, requires a major thing, and that is dying to ourselves. Okay, as long as my will is intact and I want to do what I want to do, I'll say, you know what, I'm going to obey God in this area. I'll obey Him in this area, but not going to obey Him in this area. Okay, but obedience means that I die to myself and I say, God, I want to implement Your word in all of my life, not just part of it. And so it takes a death. We have to die to ourselves. Galatians 5:24, I'm going to go to Galatians. I'm trying to stick to our text, but going to Galatians a few different times. Paul says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." If you want to live a fruitful and productive life, there has to be a death in your life. A death to yourself so that Christ may grow and be part of your life. Now, even a fruit tree, fruit trees go through cycles, don't they? Winter. What happens in fall and winter? Fall, you get harvested, and then what happens as winter comes on? Gets cold. What happens to the leaves? They fall off, and it looks like that tree is dead, doesn't it? You get to the middle of winter, and that thing looks like it's dead, doesn't it? But all of a sudden, spring comes, the temperatures warm up, all of a sudden you begin to see buds on the tree, right? All of a sudden, the leaves begin to appear, and then all of a sudden, flowers begin to appear. And then as you get into summer, all of a sudden, there's some fruit that begins to appear, right? And then you harvest it in fall. Even fruit trees go through a death cycle. And that is part of, I think, most fruit trees go through some type of cycle, even in warmer climates. They have that cycle of dying before fruit comes on. And I don't know, that's part of God's wisdom. I don't know. I think He did it for more than just my sermon illustration, but there's that death that has to take place. And in our own lives, there has to be that death that takes place. Again, in Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite passages that I'm still trying to live out in my life, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me." I am crucified in Christ, but now Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, it's not by following the law and the rules, but it's Christ in me. And it begins to produce fruit as I live by faith. And that is what God calls us to do, to live a life of obedience. It's not just, I'm going to tighten up my belt strap and go to it, and I'm going to do all these rules and follow through on that. That is not what Christianity is about, folks. It is about a love relationship with our Lord and our Savior. and I obey. Why? Why do I obey? Because it's one of His commandments. What else? Romans. In view of God's mercy, let us offer our lives as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God, which is your act of worship. In view of what Christ has done for me, what has Christ done for you? Help me out, I'm forgetful. What has Christ done for you? He died on the cross for your sins, to name the first one, right? Plus many more. In view of Him laying down His life for you, something that you could not accomplish, you could not pay the penalty for your sin, Christ laid down His life for you. In view of God's mercy, let us offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Fruit is a product of obedience, which means dying to ourselves. But there's a third thing. Jesus goes on to say that the person that obeys is like the man that digs down, verse 48, deep. And he lays a foundation on the what? On the rock. When the flood came, the storm came upon the house, it did not shake because it was well built. 49. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice, okay, talking about this obedience, they know the word of God, but they're not living it out. They're not obeying it. They're not willing to die to themselves, their desires, their passions that they wrestle with. Hey, that's just part of the Christian life. Okay? If you don't deal with temptation and stuff, you're not human, okay? Jesus did. Jesus was tempted in every way just like us, and yet He did not sin. But the foolish man built his house on the ground without a foundation. It says other place in the Gospels, on the sand, right? And the moment that the storm hit the house, it what? It collapsed, and its destruction was complete. The third one is that fruit is a product of digging deep. And these are all in your notes there in the bulletin. It's a product of digging deep. Now, when I was taught this story in Sunday school, you know, there was a song that was, the wise man built his house upon the rock. How many sang that? All right. Yeah, Carrie, you know the actions. Okay, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Now, I learned that, but there's one of the details that they forgot in that song. That the person that built upon the rock did what before he built on the rock? He dug deep. He dug down through the soft soil until he found the rock, hard soil foundation to build his house upon. Now, is digging deep easy work? No. You know, I put in these egress windows in our basement back 4 or 5 years ago so we could have a legal bedroom, a couple bedrooms in our basement. I thought, you know what? You know, you're going down 4 or 5 feet. You know, you're just kind of digging up. You know, that is a lot of work to dig deep. And fortunately, somebody says, you know what, I have this little backhoe, we'll come over. And he was able to do it in a couple hours. But if I had to dig that all by hand, it would have been incredible. I had to put it back by hand, and that was tough enough the way it was. It's tough work to dig down deep. But if we are going to produce fruit in our own lives, we're going to have to dig down deep. It's going to take some work to dig deep, to get down to that rock that we can build upon, who is Christ. How do we dig down deep? These are so profound. These are just going to really wow you, okay? First one is abide with God in prayer. We talk a lot about prayer. But see, prayer is more than just saying, hey, God, I need some money. Hey, God, I need some healing. God, I need this. God, I'm in a bind again. You know, kind of like I like that one insurance commercial. Rodney, do you have your car up a pole again? I don't know who's. I'm not sure Dave what commercial that is for, but is State Farm or American? Yeah. You know, God is more than that. Prayer is our direct link to God, where we've communed with Him, we fellowship with Him, and that can't be done in 5 second prayers. It takes. I don't want to put a time limit on it, but it takes time. Where we commune with God, we have fellowship with God. This is what Jesus says in John. He says, remain in me, John 15, the vine and the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can fruit you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. So if we look at our tree, our life, and we say, man, there's no fruit there. Just be careful that Jesus isn't walking by. What does he do to trees that don't produce fruit? He curses them, right? Remember, he cursed the fig tree because it didn't have fruit. All right? Yeah, and he withered it. Yeah, and it withered. I don't think he'll do that to you, but the thing is that he was mad at the tree because it wasn't productive. It wasn't fruitful. And Jesus says, you know what? If we're going to be fruitful, we cannot do it on our own, by ourselves, by following rules. It has to be because of our fellowship and communion with God that we spend with him. You know, it's like having the college student that the only time you hear from them is if they need money, right? Text or call. Hey, we need money. If that's what our conversations are like with God, we're not going to grow very deep. Where we're going to grow deep is when we take time daily, whether it's morning, evening, or night, or maybe all those times, and we have a fellowship with God, and we commune with God in prayer, and seek his face, and come before him with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and magnify him. Bring our requests, yes, but it's more than just our requests. It is coming before him in prayer and seeking his face. Amen? Secondly, we dig deep. I know this is going to be just really wow you here, but we study what? God's Word. And I put study there because it's more than just reading God's Word. I think many times we can read that verse of Scripture before we go out, or we get the verse of the day on our phone, right? You know, and that's good. But we have to dig deeper than that if we're going to have a foundation that is solid. I mean, that's just kind of like taking a shovelful or two and just kind of removing the topsoil. We're actually not digging down deep to that bedrock that we can build upon, the solid rock. It takes some work to dig deep. You know, when we have our leadership class, which is open to anybody that's willing to put in the work and to do the work, and, you know, those that are there, you know, Heidi can do it. I think some of you can do it. Yeah. then it takes some time. They read and they study, but I'll see a post on Facebook throughout the week. I think Clara, she's in the nursery this morning, but she posted something. We're going through the Old Testament, and God, you know, she just says she's studying this, and something, boom, there was some application there, and she posted it. Why are they getting that? Because they're digging deep, and it's work. There is some work involved there. But as you dig deep, you find some great things, some nuggets, as you want to call it, that apply to your life. You know, a Sunday morning message, you know, pastors all across our nation and across even our city, you know, they put in time throughout the week to prepare a message, and hopefully it's a blessing to those that are there. But you know who the one is that is really blessed by the message? It's the pastor. Why? Because the pastor that week has been in a study, probably spending 8 to 10 hours studying for that passage of Scripture, understanding it, because if it's not clear and makes sense to the pastor, I can guarantee you it doesn't make sense to the people. And so they have to wrestle with those truths and those principles to be able to present it. So yes, you maybe are blessed, but in the process, I feel sometimes more blessed than anybody else because I've had to wrestle with those things and I'm the benefit of that study. And see, if you take the time in your own life to study God's Word, Sunday mornings are great, folks. But it's kind of like spoon-feeding you, okay? Quite honestly, I'm doing all the work for you to a large degree. I'm not insulting anybody here, okay? I'm just saying the way it is. Where you're really going to begin to grow, when Paul says, you know what, you get beyond milk and you actually start to take out the steak knife and the fork and you start cutting up your own meat. And you begin to study Word for yourself. That's where you're going to really begin to grow and mature. And you're going to dig deep. fruit is a product of digging deep in our lives. And you can call these practices or disciplines, studying God's Word and prayer, if you just see them as a means to be self-righteous, then you've totally missed the point. Because then you're no different than the Pharisees. But if you see them as a means of digging deep to know God and to know your Lord and Savior better, then you're on the right track. It's the difference of motivation, because we want to connect with God, and it is there that our life will be radically changed, and the fruit will be there to confirm it. Right? Don't tell me you're this really spiritual, godly person, and we look at your tree and there's nothing there. Okay? If you are really getting into God's Word, if you're going to be into prayer and you're obeying God, guess what? There will be fruit on your life. There is going to be some love and joy and peace, and people are going to come by and say, man, what's different about your life? Man, I'm going to come by this workstation more because I like the fruit that's here. I like the joy and the peace and the patience that it's here. Man, I'm going to go hang out with that person more because there's something there that, man, there's a bunch of bad fruit around, but the fruit at this store, at this place, at this house, I like. And folks, that just doesn't happen. You know, I planted some trees up in North Dakota. I never got to stay long enough to enjoy them, and I got some apple trees growing, and I think I'll get my first harvest there. Maybe in a month or less. But it takes a long time for fruit to mature and to come on, doesn't it? Fruit is there's no pill, okay, that you can take and say, boom, there's fruit. There's no shortcuts. Fruit takes time. It takes time. And it's going to product as you pray, as you get into God's Word, as you obey, and work on the heart. See, the heart wasn't the physical heart, was it? Scripture talks about, and we say today, I love you with all my heart. Now, we're not talking about that organ in our chest, are we? We're talking about our inner being, right? It's the center of who we are, our inner being. And Jesus says that is what we have to guard with all of our might. We have to guard our heart. Because it is out of, Proverbs says in 4:20-27, it says, out of the heart flow everything, our inmost being. Words, actions, behaviors. So if our heart is polluted, guess what? So is our fruit. So are our actions and our attitudes. But if our heart is right, we're going to produce good fruit. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. Producing fruit is a process. Now, I don't want each of you looking at each other and saying, oh, what kind of fruit tree are they? They're a thorn bush. You know what? The purpose of this message, just as we're going through it, just as I got into this passage, I thought, you know what? There's just a lot here in these verses. And it can seem pretty basic, but yet, you know what? If the church got this part down, I think our churches would be fuller than they are. I think Christianity would have a better name than it does across our nation. But I think Christianity is having a hard time in our nation right now because of the fruit we are producing. Church Christians are known more for what they are against instead of what they are for. And we resemble the attitudes of the Pharisees more than we do of Jesus. We can't control the fruit production of others. Okay, spouses, you can't change your spouse. You can't change your neighbor. But you can spend the rest of your life trying to produce the fruit that God has called you to produce. Amen? Would you stand this morning? The song just talks about, Lord, I need you. It's kind of a blending of the old and the new. You know, if you grew up in a church, Lord, I need thee is what I think that one was called. But would you just make an altar where you're at this morning and say, God, I need you. Kind of do an assessment on your own life. What kind of fruit am I producing? Is there fruit? Or is there bad fruit? Or is there good stuff? Amen? And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.